This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
On this day, the Friday, and the date is? The date is the 8th of April, walhamdulillah, at Izzulweni. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bi-Ithnillahi ta'ala, for the next 1 hour to 1 hour 15 minutes, 1 hour 20 minutes, insha'Allah. Bi-Ithnillahi ta'ala, we will be going through a short explanation of the book Bidayat Usul Fi Tafdil Ar-Rasul, and that is the book that you have in front of you, insha'Allah. But before that, Brother Yusuf Mullah is responsible for the fact that every single one of you has not been given a copy of this book. Brother Yusuf Mullah and I testify to this. Alhamdulillah, We had about 70 copies, Jayid, and about 40 of the copies were delivered to the business, Coventry Clothing in Durban, and it was in a box, and an individual came along, and there was a lot of books which were collected for a certain Islamic library in Verlem, Jayid. So 40 copies of these books are now sitting in this Islamic library, insha'Allah, Jayid. إنما الأعمال بالنيات الأمور بمقاصدها. Affairs, matters are judged by their intention. So the intent was there for every single one of you to have a copy. But what he has told me before Salah is that on one page, every single one of you who does not have a copy, at least we want that every two you have a copy. So right here in this sitting, you can view the book and you can follow us. So every two or every three, you need to have a copy that you are looking into for the duration of this sitting, insha'Allah. So share it to that level. And you can write down your name on a certain page, every single one of you, with your phone number if you did not get the book. And then Brother Yusuf, insha'Allah, will try to get you all copies and have it posted to you. So you write down your name, and you write down your phone number, and you write down your address. And it is his responsibility to have it posted to you. If you do not have a copy, I repeat, and why do I hear people talking? It is your responsibility to make sure that you give him your name, your phone number, and your address if you do not have a copy. So then after that, it transfers to his responsibility to make sure that every one of you gets a copy. Jayid, you forget to give it to him, no sin upon you, but no sin if he does not send you a book also. Jayid? So that is the matter with regards to that mas'ala, insha'Allah. Are there people missing from the class?
Yes.
Can I have some water, Mashaq? Yeah. Who is missing from the class?
Muhammad
al-Bira. Jayid. Who else? Mushkila. As the Arabs say, Man ghaba khaba wa akhada nasibahu ashaba. Whoever is absent, then his friends take his share. Man ghaba khaba. Whoever is absent, he loses out. Wa akhada nasibahu ashaba, and his friends, his companions, they take his share. So less the merrier, insha'Allah. Jayid. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will be discussing, going through a short explanation in 1 hour, 1 hour 20 minutes of the book Bidayat Usul fi Tafdil ar-Rasul. What's the topic of the book? What's the mawdu of this book? It is dealing with the special characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those characteristics which made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam different from the other Anbiya. Those characteristics which set the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam out, made him different from the rest of the human beings. And we will discuss, and you will mention many of those characteristics. The method of the explanation is, insha'Allah, we will go through a little bit of points, notes that I've put together, and you will also participate and you will mention points because you know many of these points. Once we go through all of this, then we will begin with the book. We will require a reader, somebody who can read clearly and somebody who can read fast, insha'Allah. He will read and I will stop him here, there and everywhere and add on a few more points. Everyone's okay with that? Jayyid. So this is the book Bidayat Usul by great scholar of Islam Izz ibn Abdis Salam. The author of this book, for your information, since you have all been studying Qawa'id Fiqhiyya, the author of this book He is more famous for a two-volume book entitled قواعد الأحكام. قواعد الأحكام, what's قاعدة, what's قواعد, the fundamental, أحكام of the rulings of the Sharia. قواعد الأحكام, he's put together these two books. And he has claimed in that book, or two volumes, that everything in the Sharia returns and goes back to one principle. And what principle is it? It's a principle we're going to come to tomorrow. It is under the universal principle of all harm is to be removed. And that principle is that the Sharia has come to bring forward good and to prevent evil. He says the entire Sharia from A to Z, it has come to fulfill this principle. Anything and everything you look at it, it goes back to this matter. All other principles, maxims, etc., go back to this. What? Sharia wants to bring forward good for you and wants to prevent evil from you. Jayid? Excellent. So that is something on the side with regards to the author. Benefit of studying this topic. We mentioned previously, everything about the Prophet ﷺ, everything that he has said, it is general until proven otherwise. So here we will be discussing the otherwise. We will be discussing those matters which were specific to him. Example, getting married to more than four females. This was special for the Prophet ﷺ and not allowed for us. And a million other matters. We will divide them into categories. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, matters or special qualities that he had over the other anbiya. What made him different from Ibrahim alayhi salam? What made him different from Adam alayhi salam? Special characteristics over the other anbiya, first in this dunya and then in the hereafter. So he had a higher level over Ibrahim in this world. He had a higher level over Adam alayhi salam on earth. How and where? What was different for him? Maybe his Sharia was for all people on earth. Whereas the Anbiya, the other Anbiya, their Sharia was just for their people. So on earth, he was different from the other Anbiya. Then we will talk about the hereafter. How is he different from Ibrahim alayhi salam in the hereafter? Let's see. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his followers, they will be the largest. And his ummah will be the largest. As opposed to the other Anbiya. Also, for example, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the great intercession, which is not given to Adam alayhi salam or Ibrahim. We'll discuss that category. Then we will talk about the special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his ummah, us. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah, the benefit, special station that they have over the other ummahs of the previous Anbiya on earth, the special station that the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, his ummah has over the ummahs of the other Anbiya in the hereafter. So each one, the Nabi over the other Anbiya on earth, over the other Anbiya in the hereafter. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah, his ummah's special status over the other Anbiya's ummah on earth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah status over the other Anbiya's ummah in the hereafter. Jayid, we will take it one by one. What's the benefit of studying this chapter? We want to know what makes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam different from everyone else. Also, we will be spending an hour 20 minutes mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name many times, increasing our love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That no matter what they say, if they say he is a terrorist, Muhammad is a terrorist, Muhammad was a pedophile, Muhammad was such and such, technically what does Muhammad mean? Muhammad means the most praised one. Hamd, alhamdulillah. Hamd means praise. Muhammad is the most praised. So if you translate the sentence of that individual, what does it mean? The most praised one was a terrorist. Look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choosing that name for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whoever wants to malign him and belittle him, technically his sentence is a contradiction because he's starting it off with the most praised one was such and such. There's a difference between the beginning of the sentence and the end of the sentence. Allahu musta'an. Jayid? That the individual who said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are cut off. You don't have any lineage. Your son Qasim, he died. Abdullah died. Ibrahim died. Who are you going to have left behind? What does Allah reveal? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Verily we have given you al-kawthar. What is al-kawthar? Al-kawthar is this pond in the hereafter. That whoever drinks from it on yawm al-qiyamah, he will not be thirsty ever after. So do the other Anbiya have Kawthar? No, they don't. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's special status over the other Anbiya in the hereafter, he is given this pond. What does the verse continue? The surah continues. And then it mentions, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. As for your shani'aka, the one who is speaking on you, maligning you, he is abtar. He is cut off. Prophet's name is mentioned 5 times, 10 times from the mimbar, or rather from the minara, every single day across the earth. Muhammad is mentioned. But this man, we don't even know what his name was. Books of tafsir also don't even talk about, who exactly he was. He is cut off. Prophet's legacy lives on. Jayid? So those are some of the benefits of studying this chapter. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's special characteristics, increasing our love. Also, we will mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name so many times. We will say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for your information. The minimum is that in a majlis, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name was mentioned 100 times, the minimum is that you say it once. And maximum, there's no limit to that. The miser is the one who sat in a majlis, it was mentioned 100 times, and he never once said sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Did you all get that? Jayid? And you know the famous hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, like from amongst the worst of the misers, who is it? The one whom my name is mentioned in his presence, and he does not send salawat upon me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. And on a side note, and sometimes these side notes, they just come to mind, and so we mention. From amongst the four madhahib, you all know the salawat you send in your prayers. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, etc. Jayib. From amongst the four madhahib, it is only the Hanbali madhab who is of the opinion that you must send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you don't, your salah is invalid. The Hanafis, the Shafis, the Malikis, they say that it's sunnah. If you send salawat in your salah, it's fine. And if you didn't, if you send salawat, it's good. And if you didn't, your salah is still valid. Did you get that? Whereas the Hanbali scholars are of the opinion that you must. And if you didn't, your salah is invalid. What's the point? Why did I mention this? Why did the thought come to my mind? Because, for example, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Jayid, the leader of the so-called Wahhabis, now his book of fiqh, he was of a Hanbali origin. His background was the Hanbali madhab. In his book of fiqh, so he lists there, and you must send salawat upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salah, and if you don't, then your salah is invalid. What's the point and benefit of this? That supposedly it is said amongst people that these so-called Wahhabis, they don't send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How ironic it is that he is from amongst the Hanbalis and the only of those who say that you must send salawat. And if you didn't, your salah is invalid. Imam Abu Hanifa, it's sunnah. Imam Malik, it's sunnah. Imam Shafi'i, it's sunnah. Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, 3 riwayas from him. And one of them is that you must. And that's what many of the Hanbali scholars follow. There was a side note, we mentioned it for your benefit. Alhamdulillah. How do we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was different from everyone else in a certain matter? We mentioned previously, basic rule is what? Is that he is equal to us. Basic rule is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does something, we are allowed to do it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married, we are allowed to get married. A ruling comes down in the Quran, it's for him, it's for us. That's the basic rule until proven otherwise. Okay, we have specific evidence to show Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is allowed to get married more than 4 and not everyone else. We have specific evidence to show this matter and that matter and those matters. Jayid? So to prove the matters of khasa'is, that's what it's called in Arabic, khasa'is khusus, in Arabic khas, this matter or this pen is khas for writing on this type of board. This pen is not for writing on the wall, but it's khas for writing here. It's special for the writing on this type of board. So khasa'is is the plural, the special characteristics. And you have many a scholar in Islam who has written on this topic. Imam As-Suyuti, Jalaluddin As-Suyuti, in reality, his kunya was what? You are Abu something or you are Ibn something. Imam As-Suyuti was called Ibnul Kutub. He was called the son of books because his mother gave birth to him, in an area in the library, and he was born there, so they call him the son of the books. And also he lived up to his name, and as they say, everyone has a share of his name. So Imam Suyuti, he was a master. He wrote in almost every single science within Islam. Tafsir, you have his books. Hadith, you have his books. Aqidah, you have his books. On every topic, he's authored books. And he's authored a two-volume book on the khasa'is of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Within it, you'd find the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jayid, why? Because to establish that this is something special for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has to come from the Quran. It has to come from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not something that I use my mind and I feel, well, you know, I think this is something that should be special for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? He says, well, I mean, you know, I mean, that would mean like, you know, he's higher than all of us. We use our mind. Like many years ago, a brother said to me that we were talking about a mas'ala of whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is believed by some, that he is everywhere and he sees everything. And they call it Hazir Nazir. Jayid? Hazir Nazir in the proper Arabic, it would be Hadir and Nazir. Hadir meaning he is present. Hadir, I'm Hadir. And Nazir meaning he is seeing. So this individual says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is everywhere, he sees all things. I say, what's the proof for this? He says, well, don't you agree with me that, for example, Iblis, Shaytan, you know, he's everywhere and he's causing, he's tickling brother Ahmed and he's tickling that sister and he's doing something in Australia and he's doing something in America and he's everywhere at all times, etc., etc. And this was many, many years ago. I never studied or anything like that. This was, must have been 15 years old. So I said, okay, you know, makes sense. So he said, well, who's better? Iblis or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Obviously, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, well, if Iblis can do that, then obviously the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has more right to do that. He has more right to have that quality. Now this is using qiyas. This is using an analogy. If this is like that, Allah says in the Quran, do not say uff to your parent. Well, if uff's not allowed, obviously hitting them would be haram to a higher level. So he says, well, if Iblis can do this, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better, obviously he has more right to do that. Does this make sense? Is this qiyas valid? No, number one, you cannot make qiyas in aqidah. Jayid, you cannot make qiyas in belief. Then you would make a million qiyases and you come up with your own thing. In fact, I can then say that brother Qamaruddin, he is everywhere and he sees all things. Why? Because brother Qamaruddin is better than Iblis. Anyone differs? We all agree that the Muslim is better than Iblis. So if Qamaruddin is better than Iblis and Iblis is all of that, then definitely this man is also everywhere and he sees all things. You got that? And then we are all like that. And you can take it and apply it to everybody. In fact, your camel that you used to take to the masjid is better than Iblis. And so it also has that quality. Did you understand? And who says that Iblis is everywhere? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the hadith where Iblis has his throne and he's seated on his throne and he has his henchmen who go out. And every day they come to him and one would say, I did this and I did that. And one says that I split between husband and wife. And he says, oh, you are the right one. I split between these two brothers. They're not talking. Oh, you are my close one. Jayid, you are my chief in command. Jayid. So Iblis himself, he's not everywhere. And also a third point, who told you that Iblis's size is like your size? Maybe in comparison to Iblis, the entire earth is like a small ball in front of him. Jay, like a small tennis ball. So he's here, so he's tickling this guy there, and he's tickling that guy there, and he's doing something here. So that's, you know, we're thinking in our closed mind because the earth is so big for us. Jay, to the ant, you know, you are super giant. And to your, in comparison to Iblis, maybe you are a super ant. You got that? Maybe Malakul Maut, maybe he's just seated somewhere and the entire earth is like that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Jibreel and he saw two wings of his open up, covered the east and covered the west. And he has 600 pairs of wings. Can we ever imagine that? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions with regards to the angels who carried the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between the ear and the shoulder is a distance of 500 years. 500 years! Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told us, well, by camel or by the Concorde, Jayid. Maybe it's according to the fastest thing that the human beings would ever get to. Jayid, we cannot even imagine those matters. And if we cannot imagine those matters, and obviously Allah is above our imagination, subhanallah. The angel you can't even fathom, how could you ever fathom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Jayid. So the matters of the khasa'is, they have to be proven from the Quran or from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our qiyas and our mind analogy doesn't really come into play in these matters. We take them one by one, inshallah. You mentioned to me, What are the special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the other anbiya on the face of this earth? Special things which were given to him, characteristics given to him, qualities given to him, which were not given to Adam, Ibrahim, Isa alayhi salam. Fadal ya Naeem. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to all mankind. The other anbiya, they were sent to their people. Yusuf.
He led all the prophets.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led all of the anbiya in salah on earth. Excellent. We see the brothers are far ahead of the sisters. In fact, Yusuf, I think you should keep score. Jayid, so brothers are two. Fadal Ilyas.
You can pray anywhere in the world.
You can pray anywhere on the world, on the
in
earth.
The world.
Anywhere on earth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not bound by the masjid, etc. And he could pray anywhere. Okay. Jayid. Fadal ya Doktor.
His name is mentioned throughout the world, all the time.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is mentioned throughout the world. Excellent. Fadal Ufti. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name being mentioned on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This matter is a matter of debate. Jayid. It is based upon a hadith reported by in the Mustadrak of Imam al-Hakim that Adam alayhi salam, after he was sent down to earth and a long time, etc., he made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he supposedly said, "Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness with you through Muhammad. How do you know who Muhammad is?" And then he said to Allah, "Well, I saw his name on the arsh. And so if his name was next to your name, you know, obviously he must be beloved. So that's why I use his name." This hadith, many a scholar has stated that it is fabricated. And many a scholar has stated that it is, if not fabricated, it's very, very weak. Why? Number one, chain of narration has issues. Number two, the words that Adam alayhi salam has used are mentioned in the Quran. Rabbana ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we have oppressed ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, then who is there to forgive us? So, oh Allah, have mercy upon us. Those were the words which Adam alayhi salam had used, Jayid, and not rather through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fadal Ufti. Prophet, that's in the hereafter. We're talking about on earth now. Zakah, Shu'ayb.
Also in the Quran, we find that, for example, Musa alayhi salam is just as Ya Musa.
Mumtaz.
The Prophet alayhi salam is not addressed by his name, but Ya Ayyuhan Nabi.
Out of respect, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is addressed by his wasf, by his
title.
Was by his quality, Jayid, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, Ya Ayyuhan Rasul, and he's not addressed by his name. Whereas the other Anbiya, they are addressed by their names. Jayid, Ya Shu'ayb. Fadal Ya Doktor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the Miraj, he went on the Isra, he went on the Miraj. Jayid, Fadal Ukhti. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's book is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas the other anbiya, it was up to their ummah to preserve the book. Fadal Ibrahim. Many times in the Quran, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name mentioned, and how many times is his name mentioned by name in the Quran? Four times. Fadal ya Doktor.
The saying of sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Saying of sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the other anbiya. Jayid, labas, no problem. And he's the what number of prophet? Fifth or sixth? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the final of all the anbiya. Jayid, he's the final of all the anbiya. Fadal Ukhti. Time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth, there were quite a few miracles. Maybe it's also shared by other anbiya. Allahu alam. Fadal Ukhti. Jayid, like our brother mentioned, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name mentioned all the time. Last one, Ukhti. Message for all of mankind and for all of times. Jayid, let's see what I've got listed. Number one, all of the Anbiya, they had given an oath. They had been from, and a mithaq had been taken from them, a covenant had been taken from the Anbiya, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated to them, if I send, you know, this prophet, then do you all promise to follow him and to abide by him and protect him and aid him? And they all acknowledged and they all abided by this promise. Jayid. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all. You don't have to write everything, doctors. Jayid. This is the last general session for you to relax, inshallah. You want to write, write, no problem. Jayid. He was sent to all the other anbiya. They were not sent to all, sent to the people, final of all prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran takes an oath by his name. He is called by his wasf, by his quality, rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using his name. Prophet ﷺ's speech is what? It's revelation. مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Whatever he says, technically it is inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The high inspiration revelation is Qur'an, and the lower one is the sunnah, which is the explanation. He was also given the fear, the ru'b, that the enemy, they fear him from a distance of over 1 month. And this was not given to the other Anbiya. They would hear about the Prophet ﷺ and they would be afraid. He went on the Isra, he went on the Miraj, and he led the other Anbiya in prayer. These are all his special characteristics on earth. You got that? Over who? Over the other Anbiya. As for his special characteristics over the other Anbiya in the hereafter, what are they? His special characteristics over the other Anbiya. Intercession, the great intercession. What's the great intercession? What's the great intercession?
After the Mizan is said, before the Mizan is said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the people will be going to all the...
For what?
For asking to start the...
To start the accountability, start the resurrection. Jayyid, Mumtaz. So they would go from prophet to prophet. Musa alayhi salam, he would say, I made a mistake. Adam would say, I made a mistake. Today Allah is angry, and anger, he never was angered before. And I don't, have the guts to go forward. And so they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine that state, subhanAllah. Everyone is drowning in their own sweat according to the level of their sin. We know that Shaykh Tariq mentioned on that day that the sun would be so close up to the level of your head. And there would be seven categories of individuals who would be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned them in the reminder this morning. Also the mu'addineen. أَطْوَلُ النَّاسِ أَعْنَاقًا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُؤَدِّنُونَ. The people with the longest necks on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ would be who? The mu'addins. Jayid, doesn't this look odd? I mean, I don't want a long neck. But it benefits you on يوم القيامة if you got a long neck. Jayid, why? Because at least, you'd be breathing, inshallah. You wouldn't be drowning, subhanAllah. Jayid. And you all know the state of the hal, of the mu'addins in our areas. Jayid. As we discussed in coolness of the eyes, many an individual believes from amongst the conditions to be a mu'addin, because Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was black, so the mu'addin, he must be black. In South Africa, that's what many think. Jayid, mu'addin, he must be black. And more especially, he must have the citizenship of Malawi. But it's changed in the recent past. Now, it seems more, it must be Zimbabwe. Because at least, he can speak English and he can be mu'addin. Allahu musta'an. The scholars debate the mas'ala. Who is on a higher level? The imam or the mu'addin? Many of them say the mu'addin. Why? Because of the verse in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better than the one who calls to Allah? So they said, this means the mu'addin, he is doing the calling to Allah. Every day, five times, he's calling the people to Allah. So they said, based upon this verse, the mu'addin, he's on a higher level than even the imam. SubhanAllah. Back to our question. In the hereafter, the brother mentions, they would come to all of the Anbiya, they would say, no, not today, not for me. Until the Prophet ﷺ would say, Ana laha, I am for it. He would bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would mention a praise that he did not even know of before that day. He would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in words that he never knew before that day. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would begin the accountability. Imagine people would be willing. Rather, I go to Jahannam and I know, than me standing here and I don't know and I'm suffering here. As the Arabs say, that al-intizar ashaddu min al-maut. That sometimes waiting is even worse than death. You're waiting. This is a greater fitna than even, what's to come after that. So they would rather just want to go and get it done. Allahu musta'an, and may Allah save us from that. You all know that before we finish off the salah, while you are sitting in your tashahud posture, recommendation, Prophet ﷺ states, you should seek protection from four matters. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek protection from the punishment of the grave. Wa a'udhu bika min adab jahannam. And I seek protection from the punishment of jahannam. And obviously this resurrection, etc., goes hand in hand with the matters of jahannam. Then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, seek protection from the fitna of Dajjal. And وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ. And the fitna of which is encountered while I'm alive and which is encountered after I pass away. And one of the scholars, his son performed salah and forgot to mention this dua. He had his son repeat the prayer. Jayid. Not that you must repeat your prayer, but showing to what a level that he regarded this matter. So, our brother mentioned the issue of the intercession. Also, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the wasila in the hereafter. What is wasila? We say in our dua after the adhan, oh Allah, give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the wasila. Wasila is a high daraja, a high station, a high position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also has maqaman mahmuda. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the great intercession and many other types of intercession. He can intercede on behalf of the sinners of the ummah. He can intercede on behalf of the individuals who are in Jahannam to remove them, take them out of there. People who are in Jannah to put them on a higher level. So many levels of intercession. And lastly, he has the pond of Kawthar in the hereafter. So those were two categories. The first one was special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the other Anbiya on earth. Special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the Anbiya in the year after Dr. Ilyas. And the third, inshaAllah, special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah, us, over the ummahs of the previous nations. What special characteristics does this ummah have that the other ummahs did not have? We will be the first to enter into paradise and we were the last to be sent. Excellent. Last come, first serve. Brilliant. Fadal Ufti.
The recitation of Quran, the remembrance of Quran. The good memory when they recite Quran.
Good try.
Fadal
Doctor. 1 equals 10. Whatever you do, you get 10 rewards. As for the previous, they do and they get 1 reward. Brilliant. Fadal Doctor. We are the largest of this ummah, but that's in the hereafter. Let's go with the first category. Special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah over other ummahs on earth.
Azab.
Sorry?
Azab.
Adab.
The azab that they will happen is tightly, we will be under the resurrected day.
The azab will be delayed for this ummah.
Azab for this ummah is delayed. Let's see, let's go one step before that. For example, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must prevent and Allah must not allow the annihilation of this ummah in one go. Like the previous ummahs, if they did something wrong, you know, they were destroyed. Whereas this ummah is saved from that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then made dua that they must not fight one another and kill one another, and that dua was not accepted. Fadal Ukhti. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Our mistakes, our forgetfulness, etc. is overlooked. No blame, no sin in the matter. Jayid. Also, you mentioned previously, someone had stated, the entire earth is a musalla for us. Entire earth is a means for purification for us. Previous prophets, no, their ummah, they have to go to the masjid or the synagogue, etc. Wherever you are, you can pray. Fadal ya doctor. Ummah is given ease. Ummah was also given Salatul Jumu'ah. Jayid, Fadal Doctor. Ghanima is halal for us. Booty is allowed for us. The previous ummahs, they went out in battle. Whatever they got, they put it together. A fire comes from the heaven to show acceptance. This ummah, we can make use of the ghanima of the booty after war. Fadal Doctor.
An-Najwa.
Sorry?
An-Najwa. To hide somebody else's sin, Allah will hide yours.
If you hide someone's sins, your sins are also hidden. As for the previous ummah, if they hid a sin, their sins would not be hidden.
It was revealed.
It was revealed? Allahu alam.
Many things were haram for the other ummah.
Give me example.
Like camel in other ambiyas, not all, for some of the ambiyas.
We will not unite upon error. Simpler one. Jayid, we will not unite upon error. And that's where the source of that ijma comes from. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that my ummah will not unite upon error. The converse, the implicit meaning behind this is that if they do unite on something, what will this be? Will it be error or would it be something which is correct? It will be something which is correct. So that's where the proof of the ijma comes from. That if they all unite on something, then that is correct and that is a hujjah and that is a proof in the sharia. Because why? They will not unite upon error. They are safe from uniting upon error. Fadal.
We can engage in tijara on Jummah, unlike Bani Israel.
Sahih? Allah. Shahid? The brother says that Banu Israel were not allowed to trade in business, or rather on their holy day, on the Sabbath. Jayid? On their religious day, on the Sabbath, they were not allowed. Jayid, Mumtaz. The next matter, the special qualities of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam over the other ummahs in the hereafter. Someone had mentioned something that they will be the first to enter into Jannah, and someone else mentioned something here. They will be the largest. Jayid Musa alayhi salam during the Isra and the Miraj, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was like sad, he was grieving. Why? He says, because a young man will come after me and he will have more followers on Yawm al-Qiyamah than my ummah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, marry, you know, females who are fertile and who can have many children. Why? Because I want to compete with the other anbiya on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Jayid? Fadal ya Ilyas. In the hereafter?
No, I mean the one before. Before you said that I had my...
We finished that. You were sleeping. Now in the hereafter, Shaykh. Fadal. We will be witnesses over the other ummahs. Jayid, Fadal Dukur?
Salah.
What about Salah?
We are the only ummah being given Salah.
How does that affect anything in the hereafter? Take one step before that. What comes before Salah?
Wudu.
What's special about wudu in the hereafter? The limbs that you wash in wudu, the limbs that you wash in wudu will be bright. They will have this light on them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Jayid. And that's why Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, he would wash up to his armpits and he would wash up to his knees. Why? Because he says, I want to increase my light on Yawm al-Qiyamah. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to see me from 10 meters, make more light, he'll see me from 20 meters. Jayid. Do we do that? No, we don't do that. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did it. And also Abu Huraira, when one companion was behind him and saw him doing this, asked him, what are you doing? He says, well, if I knew you were there, I would not have done this. This was his ijtihad in this matter. So the whiteness on wudu, Jayid, also 1 equals 10, our brother mentioned, in the hereafter. One good deed that you do, you will be rewarded 10 times in the hereafter. Walhamdulillah, we are the most of the people of paradise and we will be the last of the ummah to enter into. We will be the first of the ummah to enter into paradise. Walhamdulillah. Those were the four divisions of the special features. Number one, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the other anbiya. Number two, special characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah over the other ummas, and each one had two divisions on earth and in the hereafter. Are you all with me?
Yes.
Yes, Shrey, Fadal.
Tell me, would only our ummah be given, you know, to drink from the fountain of the Prophet?
Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Let's hope not. Jayid? We'll share, inshallah. Jayid? There is a Shia satellite station called Al-Kawthar. Jayid, unfortunately. Jayid, they took the name before us. Jayid, now why choose the name Al-Kawthar? Why, you know, not another name, but why Al-Kawthar? What's so special with regards to Al-Kawthar with regards to the Shia? Fadal Rafiq? Because of the famous hadith of the because of the famous hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you know, people would come and he would say, you know, these people are my, you know, companions and my ummah, etc. Until the angels would say, no, 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 send these people back. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they changed. Now the Shia say that this hadith applies to the Sahaba. That the Sahaba would come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and they want to drink from the pond of Kawthar, and the angels would say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you don't know how they changed your Sharia after you passed away, how they denied Ali, etc., etc. Okay? So that's why, you know, they chose the name Al-Kawthar. Allahumma sta'in. Jayid. As for the ummah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, special characteristics that he has over the ummah. Number one, he's allowed to marry more than four and we're not allowed. Any other special characteristics over all of us? Fadal Ukhti. Sorry? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot eat of zakah and he cannot also eat of sadaqah. Let's talk about the things which are not allowed for him and allowed for us. Not allowed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but allowed for us. He is not allowed to take zakah. He is not allowed to eat from sadaqah. What is sadaqah? Sadaqah is when you give something with the hope of reward in the hereafter, full stop. You're only giving because you want reward in the hereafter. That's sadaqah. Jayid? And technically, sadaqah is usually given that you are the higher hand, you are the upper hand, you have the upper hand. One who's taking sadaqah is the lower hand. Jayid? So that's why the Prophet ﷺ not allowed to take that. Whereas a gift, What's a gift? A gift is because I like you, you know, I want to get closer to you. I'm also get reward. But this is we both on the same level, etc. I'm gifting you something. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is allowed to take a gift, but he's not allowed to take sadaqah from you. Jayid, you give him something as a gift, he'll take. You give him something as sadaqah, he's not allowed to take. You give him zakah, he can't take. You got that? And same with his family, they cannot take zakah, but they can take sadaqah. Whereas he cannot take sadaqah. Jayid? So he's not allowed to take zakah, he's not allowed to take sadaqah. What else is he not allowed to do? No inheritance. Jayid, there's no inheritance which occurs in the family of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jayid. What does he leave behind? What we are getting now. What are we getting? Knowledge. Abu Hurairah comes to the people in the marketplace. He says to them, what are you all doing here? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's inheritance is being distributed in the masjid. You guys are losing out. They go to the masjid. They say, halaqa de, halaqa de, halaqa de. What's he talking about? He says, well, this is the inheritance. This is the inheritance which the Anbiya leave behind. And it is nothing but knowledge. Jayid. Also, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he puts on his war, you know, garment, he puts on his armor, he's not allowed to take it off until he goes out in battle. At Uhud, they were deciding, fight in Medina or go out to the mountain of Uhud. So the youngsters said, no, let's go out, we'll fight there, why we fight in Medina? The older ones, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's opinion was, rather we stay in Medina. But eventually majority said, go out. So he went in his house, he put on his armor and he came out, he was ready to go to Uhud. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you know what, no problem, we'll stick to your opinion and we'll fight from within the city of Medina. He says, no, it's unbecoming upon the Prophet now that he's put on his army, now that he's put on his armor, except that he must go out. And so the Anbiya put on their armor, they must go out in battle. Jayid. And the famous hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and many of you heard the story many a times, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, he was the foster brother of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. Jayid. He accepted Islam, he came to Medina al-Munawwara. He used to write down the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting revelation. He comes out to the people and he says, you know what, I got revelation. And this is the verse, such and such, such and such. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out later, he says, I got revelation and the verse is such and such. They say, Ya Rasulullah, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, he already told us that he got this revelation. He renegated upon Islam, left the fold of Islam, and he fled. He went to Makkah. He claimed to get revelation, claimed to be a prophet. He's also Murtad. And now he renegated upon the Muslims. He's living in Makkah. During the conquest of Makkah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his name written down on that death list. Even if you catch them holding on to the curtain of the Kaaba, have them put to death. And there were a few individuals like Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl. His name was there. At Uhud, if you all remember, it was Ikrimah and Khalid ibn Walid who attacked the Muslims from behind. They were masters at commanding the army. Ikrimah's name was there and quite a few other individuals. Some of them were killed and some of them escaped. Ikrimah escaped. Later on he accepted Islam, and so we say Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala an. His wife came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pleaded his case. And he was taking a ship somewhere, and he heard the people now, they were about to drown, the ship was here, there, everywhere. So they all turned to Allah. He says, well, if at the time of difficulty we turn to Allah, then obviously at the time of ease, we should do the same. And so he recanted, he came back, made tawbah, accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. As for this man, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, he found Uthman during the conquest of Makkah. He says, oh my brother, you know what, intercede on my behalf to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speak to him, etc. Uthman gave him protection. The Arabs had this thing, if I give Qamaruddin protection, you cannot touch him, you cannot harm him, unless you go through me. Jayid. So protection was given to Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Uthman. Uthman says, Ya Rasulullah, this is my foster brother here from suckling. You know, he wants me to intercede. I gave him protection. You know, please accept the intercession. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is quiet. Second time, quiet. Third time, is quiet. Until eventually he said, no problem, it's fine. We have given protection to the one you gave protection. You know, he can go and we will not harm him. As they were leaving, walking out, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the other sahaba who were seated there, why didn't any one of you stand up and chop off his head? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we did not know that you wanted that. Maybe you should have given an indication with your eye, you know, chop off his head, and then we would have understood and we would have known. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا يَنْبَغِي لِنَبِي أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنِ. It is unbecoming upon a prophet that he deceives with his eyes. Subhanallah. So at that time, this individual claimed revelation, claimed to be a prophet, but I, as a prophet, am not allowed to deceive with my eyes. So this is another special feature of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabiyyur Rahmah, Jayyid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a million examples, you know, of his mercy. But obviously, we do not want to only paint a picture that he was a man of romance and total mercy and only mercy. No, he was also a man who, at the time when things got tough, he went out in battle and he was balanced in all aspects of his life. Jayyid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not allowed for him to deceive with his eyes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not read and write. Are we allowed to read and write? Yes, we are. What if your son comes along, he says, Daddy, I learnt in madrasa, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was illiterate. So I want to follow the sunnah. I do not want to go to school. I also want to be illiterate. Exactly. Say to your son that only if you're a prophet and you get revelation, then you don't need to go to school. Because it was a miracle for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he came with the Quran and he was illiterate, could not read and write. He came with this book which shook the Arabs, masters at poetry shook them up, and he couldn't read and write. As for you, Jayyid, you need to go to school because you're not coming with any revelation. Walhamdulillah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was not allowed for him. He did not know poetry. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ شِعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. Allah says in the Quran, and you did not know any poetry, and it's unbecoming upon you to know poetry. A few lines he tried, and Abu Bakr at one time, you know, made like a statement. I mean, you know, you really don't know poetry, Ya Rasulullah. You know, those words, I mean, like, you know, yeah. You know, the truth, the verse of the Quran, you don't really know poetry. And it was part of his miracle that he came with the Quran and he did not know poetry. You can learn poetry and you can sing praise of poetry, etc. No problem. Jayyid. So those were matters which were not allowed for him, but allowed for us. Now we talk about matters which were allowed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Uthman and Ilyas. Allowed for him, not allowed for us. What, doctor?
Booty was allowed. Booty was made halal.
And halal for us also.
But before that, it wasn't made halal to anyone else.
So it's a matter which makes him different from the other Anbiya. Yeah. But as for him and us, and then booty is allowed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for us. Father Lufi. Jayyid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed to marry more than four. And number two, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives are the mothers of this ummah, and no one is ever allowed to marry them. Jayyid. Excellent. And one individual, he says, well, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not passed away. Why, brother? He says, because had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, then, you know, his wives could remarry. But the fact that he is still alive, that's why his wives cannot remarry. I mean, look at the ta'wil. I mean, you need to, you know, take out your hats and give them some credit, right? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, they can't remarry. Why? Because he's alive. I mean, you can't get married to somebody, you know, he's got a wife and he's alive. You can't marry his wife. No. That's what he says. No, the reality behind the matter is they are mothers of the believers. And just like how you cannot marry your mother, that's why you cannot marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives. Jayyid. Anyone else? Fadal Dukur.
This may be the previous category. The Prophet sallallahu used to have the strength of 70 men.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the strength of many, many men. Jayyid. Doctor.
Fast
continuously. Prophet was allowed wisal. Wisal is continuous fasting. It fasts a day and it fasts the next day. And he can fast the next day also. Are we allowed to continuously fast? No. In fact, the Sahaba said to him that we see you doing this, we also want to do this. He said that I'm not like you people. You know, I'm different in this matter. Allah gives me food and Allah gives me drink. What does Allah give me food and Allah give me drink meaning? Some said that it is food from paradise. You think that makes sense? Because if it was food from paradise, then technically he was not fasting, and he is like us. If he was eating food from paradise, then technically he was eating. Did you get that? Whether it was from paradise or from the earth, if he was eating food, then he was eating food and he was not fasting. Jayyid?
So he was fasting.
Sorry? We're talking about continuous fasting. Continuous 3 days. 3 days. Prophet says, I'm not like you people. I get food from Allah. Allah grants me food and drink. What food and drink? If he was getting food and drink from Jannah, then it goes against the hadith, because he's saying that he is fasting, continuously fasting. If I'm eating an apple from Jannah, I'm not fasting. Jayyid? So what is it? Ibn al-Qayyim says that it is what food gives you. gives you nourishment, gives you that sustenance, etc. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was given. And also, you know, Ibn al-Qayyim, he is the doctor of the heart. And he's also the doctor, and he is the one who wrote the book, The Prophetic Medicine. And he says there that sometimes a person can be involved in acts of worship, and your mind totally loses focus on all matters. You know, 5, 7, 10, 15 hours gone by, and you know, you're busy in something, and you just, your mind is preoccupied in salah, in zakah, in whatever it might be. And, you know, you lose focus with regards to eating. You forget about eating. Jayid? Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his biography, that he had an illness, and he read that if you fasted for 40 days on water, and nothing but water, you know, it would cure this illness. You're not talking about somebody who lived during the time of the Sahaba. You're talking about somebody who lived and passed away a few years ago. In his biography, he mentions that I fasted on water only for 40 days, and I found two things. He said, number one, I found that it did benefit me with regards to that illness, Jayid. And he said, number two, he found that a human being can survive on only water for 40 days, for such a long period of time. Ajib, subhanAllah. Jayid? No, for 40 days. No. Jayid. We saw with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the continuous fasting, until the Sahaba said, no, we want to. He said, okay. And he wanted to show them that they couldn't. So what he did was, he continuously fasted, and they did not make iftar. They did not make iftar, and they continued until suhoor. And they found it greatly difficult upon them. So then they realized their mistake in the matter. Like, you know, the famous companion who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was fasting every day. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, fast 3 days in a month. He said, I can do more. Okay, eventually fast one day and break your fast one day. He said, I can do more. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's no better than that. And then he stuck to that. Until eventually later on in his life, he said, rather I should have taken the concession of fasting 3 days, because now I find it difficult to fast one day and break my fast the other. It's difficult, subhanAllah. Jayid. Other matters, Prophet ﷺ does not require a wali of the female when he wants to get married. Jayid. Why? What's the benefit of the wali in nikah? Why do we need a wali? The wali is there to make sure that you get married to somebody who is on the same level as you. That you don't marry somebody, you know, who's not suitable for you. Is there anyone who can say, well, I don't think this female was suitable for the Prophet ﷺ, or rather, that he was not suitable for her? He's suitable for everyone, Jayid. So the wali's job is to make sure that the groom is suitable to the female, and no one can obviously say that with regards to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Zainab without wali, without witness. The female comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she says that, you know, I offer myself to you. Is that specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, that part is not specific. But him getting married to her without wali being involved and without witnesses, that is specific to him. Jayid. He could marry more than four. Also, fighting within the boundaries of the haram of Mecca was allowed for him and not allowed for anyone else. Jayid. You're not allowed to wage war in Mecca, etc. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the conquest of Mecca, this was allowed for him. And as for other general virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, points which make him different from the rest of the people, that his statements are wahi. Number two, slandering the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam equals kufr. You slander Allah and you make tawbah, we accept your tawbah. You slander the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you make tawbah, we do not accept your tawbah and we have you put to death. Why? Because Allah is Ghafoor Rahim and Allah will forgive. As for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is his haq. Yes, between you and Allah, if you slandered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you made sincere tawbah, then obviously your sin is wiped away. But as for us, our job is to apply the legal punishment upon you. Someone commits zina, they make tawbah, they are forgiven. But the legal punishment must still take its place and take its course. And we have to apply the legal punishment. Because the Prophet ﷺ is not around today. If he was around, he could have forgiven you. It's his haq. It's his right to forgive. He is not here to overlook and, you know, forgive. So we only have one option, and that is the legal punishment. Lying against him is not lying like it's not like lying against anyone else. Why? Because when you lie against him, it becomes sharia. What about the individual who said, I'm not lying against him, but I'm lying for him? People are not reading Surah Baqarah, they feel it's too long, subhanAllah. So I make up a hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites Surah Baqarah every day, then this individual will have 400 palaces in paradise. And he will also eventually, before passing away, become a rich individual. So I made up this hadith. What happens? People start reciting Surah Baqarah every day. Alhamdulillah. I mean, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a brilliant thing? It is. Huh? I mean, the reading Quran is good, yeah, but am I allowed to make up a hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, no. He says, whoever lies against me, let them take their place in the hellfire. Jayyid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not inherited from. His wives are the mothers of the believers. If you see him in your dream, then you saw him. But you have to see him in the way that he was. Someone says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream and he was an old man, you know, with a full white beard. No, he was never like that, so you never saw him. Abdullah ibn Abbas would ask the people, describe what you saw. And then they would say, well, I saw he looked like this, looked like that. He says, yes, you know, you saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone says, I saw, you know, a Chinese prophet. Was it the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, it wasn't. Jayid? His harsh words, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If ever I slandered any Muslim and I said a harsh word against him, turn it around and make it a mercy and rahmah upon the individual. Jayid? So if he said something harsh to someone, it turns around and it becomes mercy and rahmah. His eye sleeps, but his heart is awake. His heart is alert. Jayid? So his eyes, they close, yes, they sleep, etc. But his heart is alert. But then how come Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on this journey after jihad, after one of the battles, and they were very, very tired. It was the time of Salatul Fajr. He said to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, you keep guard and you wake us up for Salatul Fajr. And they all went to sleep. Bilal couldn't manage. He eventually slept. And they all were only woken up by the heat of the sun, meaning the sun had risen. Jayid, Salatul Fajr time came in, went out. Sun came out and woke them up. Jayid. Now, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart is alert, it's attentive, why didn't he wake up? I mean, he's supposed to obviously know that, you know, the sun is coming out, or it's the time of sunrise, or for example, the time of Fajr came out, because his eye sleeps, but his heart is attentive. What's the answer to this?
To teach us.
Maybe. Anyone else? That's what the brother said, to teach us. Huh? Do you see the sun or you gauge it by your heart? Huh? The sun is a matter that you need to see with your eyes. Jayib, the matter of Fajr, etc., you gauge it by your eyes. Yes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes are asleep. As for the heart does not perceive, you know, the issue of sunrise and the issue of is the time of Salatul Fajr, etc. His heart is attentive. That's why the scholars are of the opinion that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asleep and then he woke up, deep sleep, he woke up and he began to pray, it's valid for him. Why? Because his heart is attentive and he knows whether he's passed wind or not. Because that is something that your heart would gauge, that you would know from your body. As for the sun, etc., you need to see with your eyes. You got that? Sleep in and of itself is not something which breaks your wudu. But because of matters which can occur in your sleep, that's why we say that sleep technically breaks your wudu. Because when you were asleep, you don't know whether you passed wind or not. Maybe you passed, maybe you didn't, etc. So we say that when you wake up, you need to take a fresh wudu. You got that? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart is attentive, so he knows whether he's passed wind or not. Check it, fadal.
Chef, why would he say his heart is awake? Why not his mind? Why can't...
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was his words. My heart is attentive.
Like, everybody, like someone would say, our hearts are continuously awake in that sense. Meaning,
more in the sense that he's attentive. A whole long mas'ala of where the aql is, where your intellect is. Is your intellect, your consciousness, you know, is it in your mind, is it in your heart, etc. Long story. Why when it comes to love? You know, the guy says, I love you with all my heart.
Yeah.
Why not with all my mind? Jay, you're thinking about her where in your heart or in your mind? You're always in my heart. Well, the heart is pumping blood. Jay, she's always on your mind. Jay, you get that answer and then we'll give you that answer. Jay, the pangs of death. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for him, the pangs of death were double what anyone else experiences. Why? Because his daraja and his stature would be raised. At the time of death, he's also given the choice. Do you want to pass away now or do you still want to live? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said his final words were ila rafiqil a'la, to the highermost companion. That he was given the choice, do you want to pass away? And he said yes, you know, to the highermost companion, meaning he wants to die. And the Anbiya, not only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are buried wherever they pass away. Not the choice of death, but rather the angel came to take his life, and he punched, the angel. Now, but then yes, you are right. Eventually, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated to the angel that mentioned to Musa alayhi salam to put his hand on this animal, and the number of hairs that he touches, that's the number of years that he can live. After that, he will die. So the angel came to Musa alayhi salam, angel of death. And the hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed mentions that before the time of Musa alayhi salam, the angel of death used to come, you know, apparently. How? I don't know. But he would come apparently, and that's how Musa alayhi salam saw him. But after he was beaten up by Musa, now he doesn't come apparently. Jayid? But there's a whole discussion, a very long discussion that the scholars of Aqidah, when it comes to this hadith, that they talk about, well, how could Musa alayhi salam, you know, pop out his eye, etc. You know, can that happen? A long discussion with regards to this hadith, but nonetheless, you know, there's many things you just narrate, Jayid. So the angel of death, he lost his eye, etc., came back. Musa alayhi salam was told this. He says, and then what will happen? He says, well, after that you will die. So Musa says, well, if that's the case, then I die now. With regards to extremes, so we mentioned the matters according to the Quran and the Sunnah, what we know established, the Prophet ﷺ is different from the other Anbiya, etc., different from the other human beings. Now, certain extremes which do not really have any basis whatsoever, that they are points that some have listed, Prophet ﷺ is like this, different from us, but there's no basis to this matter. Number one, that the Prophet ﷺ was not a human being, that he was created from light. And the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the light of the nur of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in the universe. So technically we are a chip of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in my madrasa, the first lesson in our Islamic history book was the lesson of the nur of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first or the second line states that the first thing Allah created was the nur of Muhammad. And He created it from His own essence. That's black and white. Allah created the Prophet ﷺ from His own essence. SubhanAllah. Prophet ﷺ has a share of divinity. There's no basis to any of this whatsoever. Allah says to the Messenger ﷺ in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ Say, number one, قُلْ, you say, إِنَّمَا verily, أَنَا I, Muhammad, بَشَر, I'm a human being, مِثْلَكُمْ, just like you. Look at the emphasis, verily, I am human being like you. Three, verily, human being, and I'm like you, subhanAllah. Jayid. And also, as the scholars state, had the Prophet, in the Quran, so many a times the mushriks, what would they say to the Anbiya? They would say, we cannot follow this man. They would say that, you know, Allah sent a human being to bring down revelation. I mean, that's not becoming. Rather, Allah should have sent down an angel to bring down the revelation. That makes more sense. I mean, revelation, what's a massive job. Send down an angel, Allah says. Well, if there were angels walking around, then we would have sent down angels. But there's human beings walking around. And you know, I mean, as it is, people say, I mean, he was a Nabi at the end of the day. Jayid, he was a prophet. Like, I remember when I went for Umrah recently, I was in a taxi, and this youngster, 22, 24 years old, so he's working in one of these travel agencies, and another friend of mine, South African, also works there. So the South African was mentioning to me that this guy is 27, he's not married, and you know, like, females come there, and you know, he just sees their eyes, and you know, he gets so excited and stuff like this. Jayid? So I was with him in the taxi, and I was speaking. I said, now you need to get married and stuff, and you know, but where, yesterday that female came, you know, you gave her your phone number, or you know, you were talking to her, what exactly was happening? He says, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not Nabi Yusuf. I'm not Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. He was a Nabi, I'm not a Nabi. Jayid. So point is, As it is, they were human beings, and people say, well, he was a Nabi, I'm not a Nabi. They leave that, they say, well, he was a Sahabi, I'm not a Sahabi. Jayid. So how much more if the Prophet was created from light, he wouldn't be someone that we could follow. People would say, well, he's different. Yes, he could do that. We can't do that. So Allah made him a human being like us so that he could be followed. And number two, we mentioned the issue of Adam alayhi salam in seeking intercession through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, no basis with regards to that matter. And if you visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave, then his intercession is guaranteed for you. No, you go there, inshallah, you get the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as for the hadith that if you go, then guaranteed for you is the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. Also, that whatever is on the Lawh al-Mahfuz, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has knowledge of all of those matters on the sacred tablet. Jayid, sacred tablet has basically all of matters. Jayid. So whoever, or rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows everything on the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Allah says to him to say in the noble Quran that if I had knowledge of the unseen, lastakthartu min al-khair wa ma massani as-su', that if I had knowledge of the unseen, then I would have used that knowledge to amass a lot of wealth, and I would have used that knowledge to keep all harm away from me. But I don't have that knowledge. Jibreel came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when is the final hour? He said, I don't know and you don't know. Jayid? مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا أَعْلَمُ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is asking doesn't know better than the one who is asked. We don't know about these matters. That you are allowed to seek help from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever you are, you can call out and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will help you. In the Quran, how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, those that you're asking from, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِتْمِيرٍ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِتْمِيرٍ. They do not even own the thread which is found within the date seed, subhanAllah. If they don't own that, can they benefit you with regards to any other matter? That Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an individual came to his grave, Ahmed al-Rifa'i, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supposedly, maybe he never said this and people claim about him, as with many things, people claim upon these individuals when they never said anything of the sort. And he supposedly came to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I used to send salawat upon you from afar. Now I'm standing here, so send forth your hand so that I may shake it and I might kiss your hand. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand came out of the grave and 90,000 individuals were there to witness this. And Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah was also there and he also saw this. Why is this false? Why is it false? Number one, how could 90,000 people ever see that? If you go to the Haram today with all of the lights and you have 500 people in front there, you don't know what's happening. Even if 90,000 people were there and they made a straight line, the last man could not even see what was happening. Even logically, it doesn't make sense. I know a brother, he went for a proposal and then he spoke about this matter and he asked that female, mention to me 5 points why this is false. Allah. I mean, some guys go to extremes. Jayid, another point why this is false. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my grave would be the first to be opened on Yawmul Qiyamah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not coming out of his grave before Yawmul Qiyamah. Fadhal Doctor.
Surah Fatih, verse 32 says, nor I like the living, nor I like the dead. Allah can make whom he wills to hear, but you cannot make to hear those who are living.
Jayid, so the brother talks about the other mas'ala, and that is whether the dead can even hear. Jayid, that's another mas'ala. Some scholars say yes, some scholars say no. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was of the opinion that the dead cannot hear. You at the grave, they can't hear you. Why? وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And Allah says in the Quran, you cannot make the ones who are in the grave hear. Jayid, so she was clear on the matter. Whereas there are other opinions, But that's a good point, Jayid. Many of the scholars say the dead can't hear. So how could the Prophet ﷺ even hear that matter? Another point. Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah, he has many books. He never mentioned once in his book that, I was there for Hajj and this is what happened. What a major matter, major issue. He never mentioned it. 90,000 Hajjis were there. None of them went back to China, America and said, we saw this massive, event. Major karama, miracle. Nobody thought that, it's important to mention. Jayid. What about Ahmed al-Rifa'i? He never mentioned this in his books, nor did his students. Only about 300-400 years after him, someone comes up with the story. Jayid. So the story also, no basis to the matter. Another matter that some states, for example, that you can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while awake. Time is up. We haven't started the book. Jayyid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that supposedly you can see him while you are awake. In the dream, no issue whatsoever. But while you are awake, can you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, great Shafi muhaddith, and Imam al-Qurtubi, they state and they talk about this mas'ala. And they say, had it ever been possible for someone to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while awake, this would mean the entire science of ahadith goes down the drain. Why? Because this scholar is spending 50, 60, 70 years learning ahadith, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to your house, Jay, so you can ask him clearly, Ya Rasulullah, here's Bukhari, this hadith here, you know, did you really say this? You know, I mean, so he'll come tomorrow and says, you know what, there's a hadith in Bukhari which are not true. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to my house yesterday and he told me. And then you ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly, what's the interpretation of this hadith? What was the context? What's the meaning behind it? Also, you can ask him what's the, you know, interpretation of the Noble Quran. And more especially, they said, we will have Sahaba until Yawmul Qiyamah. Yes. You'll have people who are claiming to be Sahaba until Yawmul Qiyamah, Jayid. And that's an impossibility, Jayid. Although technically when it comes to Isa alayhi salam, some say, you know what, he's also a Sahabi. How? He met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, at the masjid and in the heavens, etc. And he's going to come towards the end of time, Jayid. So that's a different category. Also, Shawaliullah Dehlawi, he mentions an incident where in India, there was an individual who was, you know, taken away from his house, or he was lost somewhere in the middle of the, you know, the jungles of India. Many incidents occurred there. Jayid. So he was in one of those jungles, and then he saw a gathering of jinn, and the jinn were arguing over a matter, over a mas'ala. And there was one jinn which came forward, and the jinn said, "Old jinn," and the jinn said, "I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying such and such and such and such," and this jinn, you know, was known amongst them to be a Sahabi. I mean, jinn don't live like us 60 years, etc. Just jinn might have lived 4,000 years, 1,500, 2,000 years, etc. Jayid. And so this jinn, you know, claimed to be a Sahabi. And this individual saw the jinn. So they mentioned there, so they said that this man who came back to Delhi, so they said technically he's like a Tabi'i. He saw a jinn who saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jayid. But as for our mas'ala, you cannot see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while awake. Why? This would mean Sahaba until Yawmul Qiyamah. It would mean the entire science of ahadith, etc., goes down the drain. Jayid. Although there has been in history some scholars who have made this claim. But we say that, you know, they were mistaken, they saw something else. It was a, you know, something of the imagination. In fact, at the beginning of this book, the introduction, which is put forward by a Mawlana in the UK, he mentions that Imam As-Suyuti, on page number 14, as a result of serving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam As-Suyuti was gifted with frequent visions of him in his dreams, and sometimes whilst awake, he would consult with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about any inquiry he had. Jayid. And this is true that Imam As-Suyuti had claimed this. Imam As-Suyuti in his book, yes, he does mention, you know, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit me, etc. And the scholars, they refuted him and they said, you know, he saw something else. You know, someone else saw jinn or something, took the form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an impossibility for you to see the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is an error. And that's in the introduction, it's not in the book proper. Now we have a problem. Wallahi, this book is very, very nice. It's very, very short. It starts on page number 21 and it ends on page number 42. Right? So it's about 20 something pages. And it's 40 points with regards to special characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now I ask you, what do we do?
I think it's finished. He really doesn't take from there.
One last point. Also, some state with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any shadow. Remember, the shadow matter is a follow-on from the point that they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was created from light. Because he was created from light, nur, that's why he has no shadow. Jayid? And there's no basis to that. Another one, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if he relieved himself, then the earth would open up and swallow up, you know, whatever, you know, he passed, etc. There's no, you know, authentic hadith on that, on that matter, on that topic. Check it. Now, with regards to the book, what do we do? Who from amongst you states that, you know, we stop?
You have the reminder now.
Reminder tomorrow morning. Jayin. So maybe if we do 15 minutes now and then during the reminder we continue? Oh, 45 minutes of the reminder.
The reminder is half an hour in the morning.
Okay.
Rather do it in the morning. Skip your reminder.
Oh, but who's doing a reminder tomorrow? You sure? My reminder. Okay.
But you have budget, huh?
I was there, Sheikh. Allah understand. Allah understand. Allah. Inna lillahi inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah understand. Jayid, what's the idea? What's the plan?
Sheikh, harm is to be removed.
Harm is to be removed. How does that apply? if Ilyas can please leave the room.
Thanks.
Jayid, how many of you state that we start now? Put up your hands.
Time past 10.
Who says we start now? 7.
I think you need a break, no?
No, I don't. 8. How many of you say we do it tomorrow morning?
As long as I
read. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Those brothers who were supposed to help me with the PowerPoint presentation.